0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the Scottish Premiership's return from the international break. Away fans will be back in their numbers for next season's derbies at Celtic Park and Ibrox. Rangers are boosted by the return of Abdallah Sima for the visit of Hibs tomorrow. And there are big games all around this weekend, with Aberdeen's search for a new manager continuing. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
Away fans, next season back at Celtic Park and Ibrox, that is an encouraging step forward. It's the fans who need to respond now. No nonsense from any of you to besmirch the occasion. You have the future in your hands, don't drop it. And here's the weekend in summary. Rangers beat Hibs as usual to go top tomorrow. Celtic then go to Livy minus Callum McGregor and possibly Cameron Carter-Vickers. They need to be careful. And did you know, Aberdeen haven't won a home game in 2024. They had better break that trend tomorrow against Ross County, or the new manager will be walking into a ripe mess.
He's now giving match predictions a day in advance when he's not even asked for them. He is hanging about, absolutely not in his dictionary. But Kenny Miller, international breaks are better than they used to be, because they've got a bit more of a, you know, excitement about them. This one wasn't great, and we're back with a bang in amongst the Premiership tomorrow.
Yeah, it wasn't a good break. You know, I think a lot of chat was about kind of getting back to winning ways for Scotland, building momentum towards the summer. So that's another camp down without another win. But like you say, tonight, night before the big return of the Premier League, some big games as well. You know, Hugh's right to touch on Aberdeen. Ross County could go level with Aberdeen if they can get the win at Pittodrie, and it would put Aberdeen right in a poor spot. Hearts Kilmarnock, big game again, fighting for European spots. And like Hugh says, I'm with him on this one, so I'll stick to that prediction as well. Rangers this season against Hibs, I don't think Hibs have barely laid a glove on Rangers.
Come on then, 01419511025. For many of you, it has been a long fortnight. Even the ones that are big in international football, it's felt a bit like a long fortnight looking at Scotland's results. So this is it. It's the chance to get everything off your chest as we celebrate the return of the Premiership this weekend on the pitch. The guys have laid out the picture for you. How important are these fixtures? This is the business end of the Premiership season. It starts tomorrow. And what are you expecting from your team? In terms of specific breaking news stories today, well, this show absolutely loves debates about ticket allocations. It is one of the staples of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and always has been. Very rare that we get what on the face of it looks like good news that most people, never everyone, most people can sort of get behind all at the same time. So what did you make of that? That's the standout story of the day. No away fans between Celtic and Rangers, Rangers and Celtic this season, but as of next season, fairly big allocations. Not back to the old ways, but it's the more European style allocation, a couple of thousand at each ground. So what do you make of that? Get all your reactions in. Is it good news? In what way is it good news? Get all your thoughts over to Hugh and Kenny on 01419511025. Brendan Rodgers has had on that topic. He's had things to say about the ban that he picked up yesterday. He, of course, has provided an injury update about the likes of Callum McGregor. And similarly, over at Rangers, Philippe Clement, Rangers fans, he doesn't tend to give you too much good injury news, but maybe today that was the case. Players like Abdallah Sima returning. What do you make of that ahead of a big weekend? 0141 951 1025. It's the business end of the season tomorrow, Hugh.
Well, I hate to contradict, but I've got a new expression for it. It's the Russian roulette end of the season, because one false move, as you know, Kenny, and all of a sudden the title drops out of somebody's hands. So Rangers up against the Hibs side, who have played them 20 times in a row and not won any league games, whose last victory over Rangers was the night that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst looked on from the stand. League Cup, hat-trick for Martin Boyle. That's the last time Hibs laid a glove on Rangers, so I confidently expect Rangers to take care of business there, and then we'll move on to the other matters of the day. As I say, Aberdeen's fascinating. 3 weeks ago, they were at an advanced stage, and 3 weeks later, they still don't have a manager. But the Ross County game, you cannot be dropping down any further in that league. And of course, Celtic, this is the one that Brendan sits out as a consequence of his suspended sentence. I listened to last night's programme. To say that opinion was divided would be the understatement of 2024 so far. But I think that the sentence was right. I think there's been plenty of other managers who get a two-game ban with one suspended. They didn't dream up this novelty for the benefit of Brendan Rodgers.
Kenny, the reason in my head, it'll always be a completely personal thing, that this feels like the official start of the business end. It's a phrase that gets thrown around. This is it, with no more international breaks, ultimately. That's yep. it. It's, you know,
clear run to the end of the season.
A clear run to the end of the season. Of course, the transfer window is a thing of the past. You can't change your squad. There's no more breaks for international football. Yes, of course, the Scottish Cup dips in. But this is it. You know, we've not got long to go. We're into April after this weekend. And this really is it. Whether you're trying to win titles, European places, top six, avoid relegation, get promotion, it really is. It's game on now, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and you've covered it all for a number of reasons. Every team has got something that they're aiming for. I mean, I think even Livingston, who looked doomed, and have looked doomed for a long time now, they'll still have hope. You know, that particularly if they can get through to the split, that they're going to be playing teams in and around them so that they'll have hope. Listen, I still think they're doomed. But when you look at it now, Hugh said it, any drop points now, so whether you're going for a league title, Rangers and Celtic, any drop points could be so, so costly. When you're talking at Kilmarnock and St Mirren, looking for that fourth spot in European football, they'll not want to be slipping up in any games that they would think they should be winning. So there's so, so much to play for. And like you say, you throw a little bit of the Scottish Cup action as well, semi-finals in a couple of weeks. It is officially the business end of the season now.
Right, let's start in here with the obvious story of the day. There are various stories of the day, it has to be said, but ticket allocations, I mentioned, an absolute staple of the debate on this show for as long as I can remember. So what do you make of this? Both sides, Celtic, Rangers, is it good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in the middle? Would you have gone further? All your suggestions, please, right now. 01419511025. The facts are Celtic and Rangers will both provide around 5% of their stadium's capacities to away fans for Old Firm games next season. The remaining two of this campaign will be played with no fans, as we've had recently, which is not ideal. But the SPFL confirmed it today. The clubs have come to an agreement. The allocations will be set. That means roughly, and I don't want to get hung up on these because I'm never quite sure as how it might fluctuate for whatever reason, but a basic calculation would tell you between 2,500 and 3,000 for the games yeah. next season. Celtic Stadium obviously holds more. So you would be looking at perhaps around 3,000 for Rangers and 2,500 for Celtic. But there might even just be you split the difference and go right down the middle. I don't know. General thoughts?
I don't know how they do it logistically, but that's up to the clubs, and I'm sure they'll work something out. The old hack in me wonders why this has suddenly arisen, because there seemed to be no appetite for it at Celtic or Rangers.
Well, maybe clearly there was, though, then.
Yeah, well, but how did it come about? Who instigated it? But anyway, it's an encouraging step forward, and the fans of both clubs have been put on their honour. You know, it will help the atmosphere. It's not the good old days, but it's not bad, and it will add to the spectacle. But you're on your honour.
It's described often, Kenny, as the European allocation loosely, which is what a lot of people always threw out there as like that middle ground. Rightly or wrongly, I think people accepted it was never going back to what it was before. And for a lot of people, that was a shame. But that became quite clear. Most people, again, I know I can't tar everyone with the one brush, but clearly zero away fans at a fixture is just not...
It's rubbish.
Yeah. And then even the 800 or whatever is, yep. you think, what's the point? So that sort of sizable number, 2,500, 3,000, is that?
I'm delighted.
Is that the best solution possible?
Yep, I'm absolutely delighted. I think that has been such a talking point over the last couple of seasons. And again, for me as a player who never had to play in a game that had that kind of restrictions on away fans, I'm delighted to see that there's going to be a good number in. And I think it's fair. You know, I think it is fair. We accepted, like you say, that it was never going to go back to, what was it, the 6,000-7,000 or whatever it was going to be. But this is a good chunk of fans that are going to be there. It adds to the spectacle. I think just watching it and seeing the different colours on the screen and feel it as a player, feeling the energy coming from the away fans as well, as much as the home fans. You know, it just adds to the whole game, and it will have a better look for me going into next season. Listen, let's take nothing away for the two that we've got coming up, because they're absolutely massive, massive games, and they're going to have a huge bearing on where the league title ends this season. But next season, for me, the Old Firm games will have a better look to them and a far better energy and atmosphere.
Three coming up?
Potentially three. Nah. Potentially. Oh, nah. There you go. Well, Scottish Cup predictions.
He's predicting games that are weeks away. Somebody's going to have to control this man.
The Oracle, this guy.
He's been chomping at the
bit.
You
tell me, if you see Aberdeen or Hearts in the Cup final.
Even the point. You just don't have to predict it tonight. You can just wait.
You write it down on that sheet of A4 paper and show it to me.
You can just wait. We'll find out closer to the time. Keep a bit of suspense about how you see the games going. Anyway, 0141.
I've told you the kind of week I've had.
9-5. Oh, don't get him started. He's had to put his hand in his pocket, basically. Yeah. He's not happy. He is not happy. But anyway, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. Of course, you can always tweet at Clyde SSB. But let's do it the old fashioned way with John, who's first through. John, your reaction to that news today?
Evening, Hugh. Evening, Kenny and Gordon.
Hi, John.
As I said to the producer there, I don't think Celtic, Rangers started this, and I know it's before you go on show or blah blah blah, but Rangers, when Celtic were pure dominating them alongside since 2012, when it was an Old Firm, it was Rangers cut the ticket allocation. So to me, it's either get the full Broomland Road back or not. That's the way I would look at it, show.
See if that's not a realistic option, John, based primarily on the fact that, you know, Rangers have sold season tickets to lots of fans. See if you can't do that. Is that not just cutting off your nose to spite your face? You're not alone. Loads of people would love it to go back to the old way. But was it not obvious that that was never going to happen, and this is actually a pretty good compromise, given the fact that we don't compromise on much here in Scottish football?
No, not me. No, I want the full Broomland Road back, and Rangers get the end, and what you call it, or it's not. And I think that's the way it should be. Because, I mean, as I was telling the guy, the first one I went to, shoot, I think it'd be 1983, I was about 14, and my mother wouldn't let me go to watch a Celtic Rangers game, and I sneaked in, and it was a day, shoot, remember, I think it was just when the casuals came out, there was a riot down Janefield Street with the police and all that. So the atmosphere of a Celtic Rangers game is brilliant. But to me, it's either go back to the way it was, or just keep it the status quo.
I wouldn't equate a riot in Janefield Street with a good atmosphere, but...
it depends what you're into.
But what I would say to you, John, is that you have to take encouragement from the fact that the clubs have got together, arrived at this 5% agreement, and move on from there. It's up to the fans to justify the decision to put 5% of them in the grounds. So it's wrong to start off with a negative and say, no, the Broomland stand or nothing at all. That's not how compromise works. We have to accept that 5% for the moment is the right thing to do, the encouraging step forward, and perhaps at a later date that allocation can be increased. But we can't start off by condemning the move.
I don't think John's alone. You, I think, probably, you liked it the way you had it back in your day. But
yeah,
I think once you realise it's just not an option, and he says that or nothing, but nothing's terrible. So
it's not the answer. You know, like, I'm with John. I would love to see it go back to that kind of full allocation of what it was. But I was never going to go there. We weren't going to jump from the position we were in this season and last season to that full complement of Rangers and Celtic fans back in the opposing stadiums. This is a good number of fans. You know, you're looking at 2.5. You say they might split the difference. You could be like 2,750 and each opposing fans in the ground. And that is going to make a far better atmosphere. There's no doubt about it. So, listen, it might move forward. You know, that like you say, is that allocation over the next few years could increase. If it's done properly and safety is obviously of paramount importance, you know, and that and the games go on like with no kind of incidents, whatever, it could get increased. But that's a good starting point.
That's an undeniably an important factor, but that's not the only reason that there was zero fans. I don't want to you know, slip too far down there. It's not like fans were banned from this fixture. Yes, there have been safety concerns, I do get that. But that's not the sole reason that we were there.
The safety concerns, once they reduced the allocations about where do you actually place the fans and are they actually going to be safe, X, Y and Z. Listen, they've found a way to come to a decent agreement here, and that's 2,500-3,000 fans. It's a really good number, and there's no doubt these atmospheres inside the games next season will be better.
If an olive branch is extended, you don't begin by saying, well, you know what you can do with your olive branch. You know, so I think we accept the 5% as a step forward and move on from there and let the 5% at Celtic Park and at Ibrox enjoy the atmosphere, recreate the atmosphere, make it worthwhile, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Can't convince you, John. You don't think this is definitely better than where it's been?
No, I know where Hugh and Kenny's coming from, but I do still think, I know it could be a compromise, but to me, it should go back to the way it was, or not. No, I mean, it's the way, I mean, obviously, nobody pick at things, but Rangers are the band that started this, so, I mean, to me, the ball's in Celtic's court. No, I mean, if I was Celtic, I would take the allocation, just keep it the way it is. But I remember last year, I was on Gordon, and sure, I think I was talking to, it was actually yesterday I was talking to, I'll be over again in Santa Ponza next Friday, I go to watch the game. That's why I go to the big square to watch it again. I'll be, next Sunday, I'll be in. Hopefully the sun will be out, know what I mean? I told you last year, that's where I was going. I'll be back again this year.
You're a good man. Safe travels, John. Thank you very much. That was John on the line. Look, maybe we'll just, maybe there's a psychological experiment here about the type of individual you are. Uh-huh. Some people are all or nothing, will not budge, stubborn on things, and fair enough. Look, if John falls into that category, and you get it, but it just feels like there has to be some sort of acknowledgement of where you are. I know that we always hear Rangers started this, and if that's fine, if that's your take on it, but that once you're now in the situation that you're in, you kind of just have to adapt from there, don't you?
Yeah, I know this is odd for me to say, but do we never stop getting crabbit?
That is odd for you to say.
I mean, the hand of friendship has been extended to you. If you're going to slap the hand away, where do we go from there? It's the start. It had better not be the end after one season. This is the start. It's up to the fans to recreate an atmosphere that encourages both clubs to say, right, OK, 5% is now 10%.
Well, there we go. It wasn't good news for John on the line. He's not that bothered. But what do you think? 01419511025. Call us right now and we'll get your take.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. Kenny Miller's the relief when he heard that us coming out of the break. He's had to listen to Hugh Keevans moaning about his broken fridge, his broken shower. He's out of pocket this weekend. He is not a happy man.
I was just about to tell about my golfing today as
I don't even want to hear that.
I couldn't care less.
Honestly.
See, a £95 call out fee.
Listen, he's done you. Absolutely done you.
Listen, a man of your means, that's a drop in the ocean. 01419511025. We could start a GoFundMe page for Hugh Keevans' new shower. I don't think we'd get any reaction to that.
There'll be no Christmas present for grandchildren this year, let me tell you.
Honestly, Scrooge over here. Let's bring in Richie, who's reacting to that news about the ticket allocations today. Richie, what's your take on it?
How are you doing, guys? You's all right?
Yeah, good to you.
Good, good. Listen, really, my point is, I've been campaigning, but saying that there should be the European allocation for the home games, the 5%. I think it's the right amount. I've seen plenty of teams come to Ibrox in Europe and create a brilliant atmosphere from the away end. I sit in the Broomloan, and actually sit in the Broomloan rear, so I'm not affected by the move because I'm just to the right of it. But some are affected, and I think, you know, if you're wanting to give Celtic the whole Broomloan, you're going to upset a lot of season ticket holders, and that's going to be a big impact on the finance. Why should Rangers and Celtic suffer with season ticket holders losing season ticket holders when they put money into cup games and European games and all things like that when when it's only going to be for two games a season. I think 5% is enough. I know Hugh said move it up to 10% in the future. It needs to stop at 5%. It's plenty. I mean, what's the next you're going to say? Put the four games at Hampden for a 50-50 split? It's just getting ludicrous. 5% is enough. We should be happy with getting away fans back in the games. We look forward to going to Celtic Park, and they should look forward to coming to Ibrox next year.
So you feel like this was the only realistic solution, Richie? You know, more than that, then you don't know what to do with your season ticket holders that are going to be affected. You might know more than me. I understand the season ticket holders, particularly at your club, who are affected. They're going to be offered alternative seats, perhaps, or the fact to move, you know, the chance to move elsewhere for those games. Is that pretty much the best case scenario?
Aye, well, that's it. I mean, for the European games, if they're on the CCCS, they'll need to move anyway. If they decide to take a ticket, they'll get placed elsewhere. It's unfortunate that they are the ones that need to move, but, you know, I do feel for them. If it was me that moving, would I be a bit aggrieved? Of course I would, because I like my seat. But at the end of the day, I'm still getting to the game. It's still included in my season ticket package. So, you know, for the sake of the old firm, it should be, you know, for the spectacle of the game, there should be away fans there. As much as I like none being at Ibrox, it's a great atmosphere anyway. But you know, for the whole game as a whole, and for the world viewing of it, let's say, you need the away fans there. But 5% is enough. This 10% whole of the broom loan, it's getting ludicrous. Where does it stop? Do you know what I mean?
I think even on a wider point, Hugh, maybe this is just me, and I'm not saying this is the start of a glorious friendship between the clubs. I think, you know, those days are long, long gone.
Yep.
But it did feel, just to me, maybe it's working in this show, that absolutely everything at the moment, every single bit of this, of our game, was heading to nobody agreeing on anything, the game eating itself up about absolutely everything, just constant disagreements, everybody constantly moving further and further apart in their different directions. And this is maybe just a slight change in that direction. Yeah,
that moving further and further apart will continue, but with regard to this particular issue in isolation, we've got two callers now. John wanted the whole of the broom loan stand for the Celtic support, and Richie saying 5% is the absolute ceiling for him. When you have 60,000 people at Celtic Park and 50 at Ibrox, 110,000 people, therefore you will have many different shades of opinion on this particular matter. There is clearly, like everything else involving Celtic and Rangers, no middle ground where everyone comes to agreement. But my only feeling is that today came as a pleasant surprise when the statement dropped from the SPFL. We should embrace it. We should look forward to it. And if there is a move to increase, although Richie would be opposed to that, then we could discuss it in the fullness of time. But this is a positive step.
Were you surprised, Kenny? Again, I'm not saying this is unbelievably good, and you know, because we're still a long way off the old allocation, but it still just felt to me as if it would never really get resolved. I don't know if that was just a personal thing.
No, listen, I get it, because there has been, again, you saying there was no appetite to actually come to the table and actually try and find a reasonable solution. But I had heard a few weeks that there was potentially going to be changes next season. So I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm absolutely delighted. I've said it before. I think it all adds to the game, and it's not just about the game, and it's not just about the energy. And I think it just looks far better for the Scottish game, that the big show, the old firm games, the games that, let's be honest, everybody's wanting to tune into, that's actually going to have different fans at the game. There's going to be different, the whole production is going to be better. Inside, the atmosphere's electric anyway. I think it was John that said that. The atmosphere's better when there's away fans. And with this is a significant number. You know, there's going to be a lot of away fans there. So it's all going to add to the energy inside that stadium.
Like, there's no shame in people looking through their own lens on that. I think if you're the home fan, you're still going to feel like it's a good atmosphere when there's no fans. I just remember the couple of examples we've had, very small, just weird. When the away team scores and there's no noise, it's just weird. And maybe people say, yeah, well, you know, so what? And I still like it when it's just all of our fans. But
it's unnatural. That historic fixture, it is unnatural for there not to be away fans in the ground. Now steps have been taken to take away that unnatural factor and try and get us back to the spectacle that we knew. It will never, ever be as it was when Kenny was a player, and even further back when I was reporting on matches, 70s, 80s, 90s. But can we not take today's news as a positive step and look forward to the recreation of a semblance of what used to be the old firm atmosphere?
Thank you very much to Richie. Keep your thoughts coming. It's been a mixed bag so far. First caller wasn't having it. Richie's a bit more enthusiastic, but does want it to stop there. Goes no further, says Richie. Let's get the thoughts from both sets, both managers, I should say. So first of all, Brendan Rodgers, he says he believes it's great for everyone that the away supporters will be back next season.
It's absolutely great news, I think, for everyone. I think that it's certainly something that this club have championed for a number of years. It's the iconic nature of the fixture, and it's because of the supporters. To be able to get whatever it is, 2,500 supporters into the stadium, and hopefully over time that can grow as well. But to have them in, it's everything, because that's what the game's about. The game is about the players on the field and the supporters in the stand, and especially in this fixture, this is really what makes it. So it's absolutely fantastic news, and not before time as well.
And now, of course, the take from Philippe Clement.
I think everybody loves football with two sides of fans who sing against each other or sing towards each other, and to have this atmosphere. So nobody enjoyed the COVID period. When there were no fans, that was really difficult. It was hard. For me, it was also really strange to play in Celtic Park without supporters of ourselves. So it was the first time for me. It's a strange experience. So I think everybody, every player, every manager wants both sides in the stadium. And it's football is about that. It's entertainment, and entertainment from two teams. So it's a very positive thing from my side.
That's the professional perspective from Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement. They're football men, and it's unnatural for them not to have away fans in the grounds. So the supporters have to understand that they are being invited to come back and be an integral part of this fixture. As Philippe Clement rightly pointed out, the COVID season, that was the ultimate in the unnatural. Nobody there at all. So you have been invited back. Accept the invitation with grace and let's move on.
Let's bring in Gary, who's in East Kilbride. What's your take on it, Gary?
I think the 5% is a decent enough compromise. My only issue with it is the fact that Rangers aren't guaranteed no season ticket holders in those areas a guaranteed ticket. At the end of the day, quite a lot of tickets seem to go to the likes of Addison Red and stuff like that for the hospitality stuff. And I know that makes the club money, but at the end of the day, the season tickets are your bread and butter, and that they should be the ones that are put first. And I think that's more my issue. I think the 5%, I've said for a while, the Euro allocation is what we should be going to, because I feel the last couple of home games have missed that wee bit of an edge because there's not been any away fans. Because when you're winning, you want to be able to rub it in. When you're losing, obviously they'll be singing, but you then want to try and out-sing them to spur your team on and hopefully give them the lift to go on and win the game. But I think that's been kind of missing for the last couple of games.
How do you fix your issue with it, though? You know, is that kind of the point? It's just there's no like perfect solution to this.
I don't think there is a perfect solution, but I think it's in Rangers. The whole season ticket issue is within Rangers' power, because they should be able to then, I know the hospitality side of it and the special tickets and stuff like that does make the club a lot of money, but as I say, the season ticket holders are the ones that go week in, week out. They're your bread and butter. They should be looked after first.
These are logistical matters. You know, it's out with football's control. It's how Rangers police their ground, how they manage to relocate the number of supporters who'll have to move to accommodate the Celtic fans. It will be the same for Celtic at their end. So these are logistical matters, and that's the part of the game that no one can influence other than the club itself.
You know, but listen, Gary makes a really good point. I mean, you're buying a season ticket for your club. you want to be going to these biggest games of the season, and that's where I do feel for them. So you hope that there is a solution for those fans that are having to get housed somewhere else, or they can be housed somewhere else, because their season tickets there, Celtic coming to town or Rangers coming to town, going to Celtic Park, they're the games you want to be watching. So you don't want to miss out, because obviously now there has been the solution, and it is a good solution. It's a positive step in the right direction. But those fans that have season tickets, and it's really important that they still get to be part of it as well. You know, they've shelled out their money, they've taken their season ticket. It's important that they get to see the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, so Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, as it stands, Rangers fans can renew their season ticket that won't include the Celtic games, and you get it cheaper. And the other option is you can then, you could pick a new seat somewhere else in the stadium, and that would include games against Celtic, although you wouldn't be guaranteed that. Is that right? Is that a kind of first come, first serve thing?
Yeah, from what I've seen from fans on Twitter, that seems to be the case, that if you want to keep your original seat and it's in the affected area, then you're getting it at a discounted rate, but you won't get the Rangers Celtic game. But if you move seat, then obviously you'll get your ticket, but it'll obviously be the full price. Obviously, there's no, as you say, there's no perfect solution. It is a positive step in the right way. But again, it's just the fact that it affects season ticket holders that's sort of annoying myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, Hugh, I feel like that's okay. If you're somebody that's affected by this, you don't have to shout from the rooftops about it, you don't have to celebrate it. So that this is always the issue when it comes to debates like this. It's quite easy for us to sit relatively on the outside. Kenny's different, he's experienced it, and say this should happen and that should happen, this is good news. Not everyone's going to feel that way.
No. However, people are moved for European matches. It's not as if the clubs have thought up this dreadful measure that's going to infuriate people. It has happened, and it needs to happen. If we can't go on and on and on about bringing back the old atmosphere and how it looks on television, and then when the two clubs come together and agree to a solution, an opening solution, maybe not the end of the matter, we cannot then all join in and say, oh no, it's wrong for A, B, C. You know, logistically, it's a nightmare for the pair of them, but they're willing to make it happen. And if people are inconvenienced, then there's nothing that Rangers or Celtic can do about it.
I don't know, but nothing. That's the whole point. You're charged with finding a solution, whatever that is. Sweeten it in other ways. Scott, who's a Rangers fan, has tweeted, says his seat's in BF4, and he's shown me the options, which is kind of similar to what we said there. You can get a new season ticket that doesn't include those games. It comes at £106 cheaper, apparently, to keep your current seat. Or the other option, option two, is to select a new seat currently available within the stadium that does include the games against Celtic, but seats would be allocated on a first-come, first-served basis, and that's the bit that's going to cause the issue, I suspect. Thank you to Gary. Plenty more time to get your thoughts in on that. Maybe you want to shift focus. It's a really busy weekend. The Premiership is back. We've got big games to look forward to. Big injury updates from both sides of Glasgow. Brendan Rodgers talking about his ban. Huge games for the rest of the league as well. So if you get your calls in right now, I'll just quickly remind you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, tickets are selling fast for Clyde One Live. If you've not got yours yet, you might want to fix that quickly. It's part of our 50th celebrations. Hugh Keevans has been here for what feels like all of them. I think you would agree. But we're going to take over the OVO Hydro Friday, the 31st of May. And we do really, really want you to be there. Got some huge names joining us as we celebrate the biggest and best radio station in Glasgow in the West. I'm sure you'll agree. We've now announced the full lineup of Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy, and Texas. They're going to play some of their biggest hits on stage for us all to enjoy. Should be a cracking night, so make sure you get your tickets at Clyde1.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. They're excited, I can tell. They've got that extra spring in their step, the return of the Premiership this weekend. But what are you making of it all? It's always a nervy wait. If you're all about club football, you look at the international fixtures, you wait and wonder who returns in good health, who picks up an injury on international duty. Then the players who were injured before the break, is the break going to do enough to get them back in time? There is a lot to take in there, and some significant updates today on those subjects as well. So no Callum McGregor for the trip to Livingston. Is that just a precaution, Celtic fans, or are you worried that the big one next weekend is going to come too early for him as well? Better news on the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers and Rio Hatate. And I think we don't say this often heading into the weekend, but mostly better news for Rangers fans listening, because Abdallah Sima is amongst those returning as well. Maybe that's a bit earlier than you expected. I don't know. You can let us know all your thoughts on this weekend's action on 0141 951 1025. Of course, you can tweet as well. You can send us messages and let us know what you're thinking. Something a bit out there, Hugh. This one, I think you'll appreciate, just to underline how well travelled you two are. Kelly sent a message to say her husband Barry is from Clydebank, and they now both live in Bahrain, and every morning he goes running round Bahrain Fort. Didn't know such a thing existed. There you go. Whilst listening to the previous night's podcast, and since you guys are now on YouTube and have your own mugs, I don't actually see any in the studio today, I thought I'd make him one to match you all. So there you are, Barry's running round Bahrain Fort with a replica of the Clyde One mugs that you guys sit in here with. See, so there you go.
Well done, Barry. Another paper hanky, doing well.
International superstars. And by the way, if you are just new to this and you're getting into the live stream, which hopefully you are, you can see such things as Gordon Dale spitting the dummy when he loses on Beat the Pundit. He was in a foul mood last night. It has to be said.
He's a shambles of a man. I mean,
say what you really think.
I mean,
it's a bit harsh, yeah.
He actually told an outright lie about the difference between Canadian and American.
But anyway, if you are into the live stream, and hopefully you are, you can please make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. There's lots of stuff going on over there. John, speaking of Clydebank, John's in Clydebank. How are you, John?
Good evening, guys. Hope you're all okay.
Good. How are you, more importantly?
I'm fine, thank you. I was more concerned about the 5% allocation. I'm quite happy with the 5% allocation. Mm-hmm. My main concern is, I don't really think Celtic and Rangers are going to do it, to be honest with you. For a start, with no fans at any of the parks, your security bill is absolutely halved. So you've not got that expense, but you're still filling all your seats. The whole thing's solely down to Sky TV. They wanted that. They wanted their fans back in place for the atmosphere of the Sky. And Kenny will tell you or anything else. I've been in it, Ibrox, when Celtic score a goal, you don't hear a sound. And there's nothing there for the TV, except a load of Celtic fans jumping about a house somewhere or jumping about a pub, and vice versa when you go to Parkhead. I don't really think Celtic and Rangers are going to do it. I think they'd be quite happy plodding along with no fans, security bill half, and still filling all their seats. That's been the powers above for the viewing figures, basically saying, come on,
sort
something, get a finger out.
John, just to step in at that point, because I'm happy to hear any theories on here, and it's John's opinion, which is fine. My own personal understanding is that that's actually not really particularly the case. I dare say, if you ask Sky, would you prefer fans to not? Yes. My understanding is there wasn't a particularly aggressive push. I don't want to burst John's bubble, but I don't really think that's been the case.
Even if there was an aggressive push, as you term it, from the television company, or even if that is the furthest thing from the truth, can't we just accept that this is a good idea? Well, all we're hearing is negative for that reason, negative for this reason.
This is strange hearing you trying to be solely positive.
Now, I've listened to the arguments for a long time about how poor it is without away fans, and I agree wholeheartedly. So when it comes along, does it matter if it was at index idea?
That's not the name.
You know what, I actually think, I think the clubs deserve a bit of credit on it as well. You know, they get battered for pillar to post for, sometimes over the last few years again, being petty in certain situations and one-upmanship, well, you've done that, so I'm going to do this. And they've got together, and whether it's the SFA have got them together or whether it's Sky that have made the push, they still have to agree. You know, they still need to agree to it, and they still need to come to a kind of middle ground. They've done that, and I'm with you. Like, there's no doubt it's a good thing. It's going to add to, and it's even for the fans in there. It's, for me, it's better. I think the fans actually enjoy, or certain fans know everybody clearly, enjoy that other set of fans being in there. It's somebody they can shout at, particularly when you're sitting pretty close there. Yeah. And all that adds to the occasion. There's no doubt Sky will have wanted away fans mm-hmm. back in the stadiums, because the whole thing just goes up a level. Atmosphere's always good. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I've been in the stadiums. I've been working at the stadiums when it's been no away fans. But when there is away fans in there, the atmosphere goes up a few notches. There's no doubt about it.
Like I said, they're wanted, and they're, you know, John's suggesting that it's almost been a demand, an ultimatum. My understanding is it was nothing like that. Like, genuinely not. And both clubs have issued statements to say that, you know, it's something that they've wanted to work towards, or words to that effect. Because even on that, John, think about this landscape we've got over the last couple of years. See, if Rangers and Celtic don't want to do something, they don't tend to do it.
Well, that's not surely true. I mean, the TV companies are paying the money, but I'm agree with you. I think it's a great idea. I'm certainly not thinking, I believe the fans should be allowed in both sets of clubs. I don't believe, I just believe if Celtic and Rangers didn't get the push, and they would have just plodded on the way they were going. But somebody's gave the push and they've agreed to it, and I think it's a great idea. I think Hugh's correct what he's saying. Take 2%, 3% all day long and see where it goes.
I can only offer you my understanding. People don't need to believe me. I think that's fine. I don't think I'm even believed in my own house. I genuinely don't believe there was a big push by broadcasters for this to happen. And like I say, to clarify that, of course they would have wanted it, but John still seems to think that there was a big push required, and that's not how I understand that these negotiations went.
I don't care if it was Barbie's idea.
Well, he's moved on now.
Ant and Dec's idea.
Back to them, okay.
Or anybody else's idea. Somebody made this happen. Somebody instigated it, and a consensus was arrived at. Can we just say, thank you very much, looking forward to it?
But do you see what I mean, Kenny, about, you know, the kind of counter that I put to John? If this had been in any way forced upon Celtic and Rangers, I feel like we'd know. I feel like we'd know all about it.
Yeah, we would. And after genuinely, if it was that and they didn't want to do it, then I don't think they would have done it. You know, I think they've got it in them. They can say, no, we're happy with how it is. We're put, again, the party line over the last kind of 18 months, 2 years has been, we're putting our fans first. You know, so it's not to say they're not doing that. Again, I think it was Gary who was on talking about whether they're going to be housed, are they going to be housed, but they've been putting their fans first. Had they felt that that was still the issue, then I think they still would have done it. So they've wanted this. Again, like you say, they've spoke about their... They've wanted to get back to some level of away fans in the grounds, and now they've done it. So yeah, I can't actually wait to see the difference and to see it back being a proper spectacle, to feel the energy from the opposing fans going at each other mm-hmm. in the stadiums.
Like I say, it has to be a joined up thing. Rangers statement says it. You know, it's input from both clubs, the SPFL, local authorities, the league's broadcast partners. So I hope I've not worded it incorrectly. Of course, various stakeholders were involved, but I don't believe that the notion that Sky said this better happen or else, that just didn't take place.
As I say, for me, it's immaterial. I'm being reminded of an old trade union joke here where the shop steward addresses the shop floor and says, from now on, you're getting three times your wages and you only work one day a week and it's a Tuesday. And a voice from the back says, what, every Tuesday? This is the reaction we're getting here.
Well, listen, these are strange days on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, where Hugh Keevans is the most positive man in the room. Things you never thought you would hear. But just as a player, Kenny, then, does this inject a bit something back into it? Like we said, it never goes back to the big allocation, presumably. On European nights, does that feel like a sizable number you've played in front of that?
See, if there's more fans, is it going to be better? I still think with this amount of fans, I think it will be back to that atmosphere. Yes, more fans can shout louder, you know, but there's still going to be that atmosphere's created with the opposing fans, and I've no doubt about it. Like you say, European nights, how often do you hear Celtic players, Rangers players talk about how special these European nights are, how much the atmosphere is, and it's a bit of a different atmosphere? Well, what you're going to get now is you're going to have this atmosphere back inside these stadiums for our biggest game of the season. So it is, there's no doubt it's a good thing. It's a good step, big step in the right direction. And whether it's 3,000, 5,000, there's still going to be an incredible atmosphere created by those fans. And from a player's perspective, players want that. They want to feel that. And by the way, some players rise to the occasion of getting stick from the, whether it be the 58,000 home fans or the 2,500, 3,000 away fans. They enjoy getting that stick for them. And then, by the way, there's nothing better when you then go and score or you do something that then kind of riles them, you know. So fans and players everybody is the winner in this situation.
Thank you to John, and it is that time of your Friday night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Yes, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's the chance to round off the week on a high with a victory against Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller. They're both in good form this season, it has to be said, but you could take them down. 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller have spent the vast majority of the first hour reacting to the news about ticket allocations for Old Firm games next season. A mixed response, I think, is safe to say. If you want to get involved, you can do. Might be a good time to move the conversation on. Big injury updates from both sets of managers, or both sets of clubs in the title race. You're looking at Abdallah Sima back for Rangers. No Callum McGregor this weekend. Better news on Carter Vickers and Hatate. No Yilmaz this weekend, but probably back for next weekend. So give us all your thoughts then on the actual football. Let's move on, if we can, from the allocations and what is going to happen on the pitch or in the treatment rooms this weekend. 0141 951 1025. If you call right now, it's perfect timing, and we'll speak to you after we play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Oh, it's been a stressful week on Beat the Pundit, I have to say. I've made it known in the past few nights, because I will shamelessly throw anyone under the bus. I don't care the position they hold within this company. But David, the boss, has been writing the questions this week, and they've been noticeably harder. Mm-hmm. Much, much harder. I don't know who did write them today, but I'm suspecting it might be the same, because these look tricky. Sorry to put the fear into you before we start. And then that's before we even get to Gordon DL. What to do is, the video's on our Twitter feed. You can watch it there. You can see it back on YouTube, as we've mentioned. A proper spit the dummy last night on Beat the Pundit.
I'm off, he says. I'm off.
But he stayed.
Never, he stayed, yeah.
I stand by it. I do stand
by
it.
No, you were bang on.
You can't be getting... The question, for anyone who didn't hear it, watch the video, but it was about, what does the E stand for in UEFA? He said Europe. It needs to be European.
Yeah.
If we're going to explain what UEFA stands for, I'm sorry, I stand by it. I don't care what he thinks.
He's a shameless huckster.
I was quite worried about what that other word was going to be. Hopefully it's more straightforward tonight. Get your calls in on the football discussion whilst we bring in Jordan and Airdrie. How are you, Jordan?
I'm good, how are you?
Not bad. You ever played before?
I have, yeah.
Oh, good. Most people are on for the first time, so how did your first time go?
Kenny beat me.
Oh, he's back for more.
Oh, he's coming for revenge.
The only thing I would say, I feel like Kenny's got stronger as his Clyde One career's gone on. I feel like he gets it now.
He's moving into Hannah territory. He might have to...
Oh, no, close. Calm yourself, guys. Calm yourself.
I don't know if anyone's in Hannah territory, but I do think he's close. And believe it or not, Hugh is doing pretty well. Your win percentage tends to hover just above your age, which is good.
For a man with no fridge and no shower.
Oh, here he goes again, honestly. So what was the 95 quid call out fee, the fridge or the shower?
The fridge.
And what about the shower?
That's done now. I've paid him.
Did he get fixed?
He did very well.
Oh, there you go. He's earned his money.
In 1 week, that's a double
blow. It's a big
hit,
yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with your fridge? I thought you were relatively newly into this accommodation, no?
No, 9 years now.
Oh, is it? Jeez, time just flies.
Yeah. So, basically...
All the cold beans you've been keeping it stunk the place out.
As I explained to the fridge engineer just before I gave him the 95 quid, I know how the fridge feels. It's just died of old age.
Steady. Did you take out a warranty on the new equipment just to be safe?
Kenny. I took out a 3-year warranty, and my wife
said... That'll cost you a bit as well.
Yeah. My wife said, what do you do that for? The warranty will outlive you.
She's ruthless.
Nothing like a vote of confidence, eh? Anyway, heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, fridgeless and showerless. Tails, it will be Kenny Miller. And it is. It's Mr. Hot Point himself. It's Hugh Keevans up against Jordan.
Hot Point, you.
That's ironic. That's the one I bought.
Is it? Yeah. What a guess. Honestly, the only one I could think of. So there we go. Yeah. Lucky guess. Right. Give him some greatest hits radio to listen to, and we'll get the questions ready for Jordan. 30 seconds, Jordan, as you know, answer as many as you can, and feel free to pass and move on if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds then, and your time starts now. Name either scorer the last time Celtic played Livingston in the league.
Kyogo.
Has Nathan Patterson played more games for Everton or Rangers?
Rangers.
Name any of Scotland's Nations League opponents for later this year.
Portugal.
Do St Johnston or Dundee have the bigger stadium capacity?
St Johnston.
Scottish League 2 top scorer Blair Henderson plays for which club?
Stenishmere.
Who's top of Serie A right now?
Juventus.
Which manager got Edinburgh City promoted to the League 1 in 2022? Wow.
Paul Hartley.
How tough are they? Let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, I'm telling you, this week, very tough questions.
Oh dear.
Really? Kenny, would you agree? Did you not hear them?
No, I'm going to just play along here.
Okay. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, Hugh, and your time starts now. Name either scorer the last time Celtic played Livy in the league.
Kyogo.
Has Nathan Patterson played more games for Everton or Rangers?
Everton.
Name any of Scotland's Nations League opponents for later this year.
Portugal.
Do St Johnston or Dundee have the bigger stadium capacity?
Dundee.
Scottish League 2 top scorer Blair Henderson plays for which club?
Pass.
Who's top of Serie A right now?
Inter Milan.
Which manager got Edinburgh City promoted in 2022 to League 1?
Alan Mabry.
Oh my, it's a clutch.
Jordan. He sounded confident. He did not sound like a man who's had a tough fridge and shower related week. They were tough though, weren't they?
They were very tough.
Aye.
I'm now starting to worry that he's made them not seem tough, because you sounded...
The Inter Milan one was easy. I got that wrong. But
right, let's go through and find out. Name either scorer last time Celtic played Livy in the league. I reckon if there was like a genre of beat the pundit questions, that would be my least favourite. You know that kind of like recent but like not remarkable category.
I always start with Kyogo because he's likeliest.
Well, that's what Jordan did, and you both got it right. Kyogo, right. And Liam Scales in a 2-0 win in December, last game in the league. Has Nathan Patterson played more for Everton or Rangers? It is, by 20, Everton. Now, you know, Jordan, when you start getting the 50-50s wrong, that's when you start to worry. So 47 for Everton, 27 for Rangers. Hugh Keevans goes one up.
I'm surprised he even had 27. I thought he was sold even before that. But anyway.
No, I think the league tally was quite low, but yeah. I think overall. Name any of Scotland's Nations League opponents for later this year. Jordan got it quite quickly, and I thought, right, this is where we're going to start to get Jordan back level. But you produced as well, Portugal, Poland or Croatia. So there we go. Still one up, Hugh Keevans. Another 50-50, and another one that didn't go your way, Jordan. It's Dens Park by about 1,000, give or take, over McDermott Park. Mm. So Hugh stretches his lead. He wasn't invincible because Blair Henderson plays for the Spartans. So none of you got that. I told you, there's a different question maker this week. He's even thrown in non-Scottish questions. It is Inter Milan. Hugh got that. Jordan thought it was Juve. Well, I think he knew in the end it wasn't. So Hugh is stretching off into the distance, and I have to say, cigar out, Alan Mabry was the Edinburgh City manager who got them promoted to League One in 2022. How did you get that?
He's the only one I remember. I couldn't tell you who today's Edinburgh City manager is, but I remember Alan Mabry, former Hearts player, been there for donkey years and got them promoted Edinburgh City.
You impressed with that from him?
I was, yeah.
I really, really impressed. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, a 6-3 or a 6-2, I think, for Hugh. Absolutely sensational. Jordan, hard lines.
That was tough.
Sobering.
Phone back on a Thursday, Jordan. Gordon always says that.
Yeah, exactly. Phone back on a Thursday. What are you expecting from your team, Jordan, when the league returns this weekend? I know you're a Celtic fan.
I think we'll win. I think we'll win comfortably, and then it's all down to the game that follows Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of we'll get on to hear from Brendan Rodgers, but it doesn't look like Callum McGregor. Well, he won't make this weekend. Does that put a seed of doubt in for the following game, the big one, as you say, or do you think he'll make that fixture when it comes round?
I think if he's fit, he's in. I don't think he needs a warm up. I think he'll go in and.
I think he'll go in.
I think I wouldn't risk Carter Vickers at the weekend though. I'd rest him.
Yeah, a game of that magnitude. What do you think out there? By the way, give us a call if you agree or disagree with what Jordan's take is. There's been a lot of injury updates off the international break, so give us a call. We can talk actual football. Still, if you want to talk ticket allocations, you can. But obviously, we've covered it from quite a number of angles so far. So let's thank Jordan again. It's 01419511025. You're delighted with that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You must be.
That makes up for the call-out fee.
I'm really impressed. So you've now overtaken Mark Wilson. You've moved into fourth place in the table, which is, as we call it,
Champions League.
Best of the rest.
Ah.
Because the know-it-alls, the anoraks, the saddos, Kenny Miller, Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday, they don't really count. They're so good. But the best of the rest is now you.
Oh.
Who would have thought it?
I know.
Last season you were hopeless.
See, don't have a shower.
Well, listen, Kenny's sitting a lot closer to you than I am. But there you are, can't grumble with that. I'm impressed with you. I am impressed. 01419511025. That's the number that you need to talk on field stuff. Let's hear from the managers. I did say quite significant injury updates from both halves of the title race, so I suppose we could just dive straight in. Let's go Brendan Rodgers then. In fact, you know what? Let's go Philippe Clement, purely because Rangers play first. That makes more sense for tomorrow, doesn't it? He's given an injury update. Abdallah Sima fit. He's telling fans not to expect miracles, but thinks the winger can be important.
So that's Dujon is back in training. Kieran Dow is back in training. Abdallah Sima is back in training. And Ross McCausland is back in training. So the guys who are out is Ritvan, is Ryan Jack, is Oscar, of course, Cortez, and Danilo.
Abdallah made a big impact in the first half of the season, has been out for quite a while now, but how happy are you that he could play a big part in the run-in?
No, it's important, but of course he's been a long time out, so you cannot expect miracles from the start, but he has shown his quality, he has his power, his pace. He has the appetite for goals, and he came back in a good way in the training. So that's positive. It's now building rhythm again, making him stronger again, and then he's gonna play an important part, I think, in this last 2 months.
My guess would be Abdallah Sima becomes the headline of that list, Kenny. It's a mixed bag, as we mentioned, with Yilmaz on the other side of it, but that's got to be the headline.
Absolutely is. Again, he's such, I mean, impact, you know, he was absolutely outstanding for the first half of the season. I think it's 15 goals he had before he got injured, like, from that left wing. Again, what he found is, they found the role for him, the right position in the team. They were playing him in the right manner. Again, he had been playing up front, which I don't think he was great, but he's back to goal. But what he's got great pace, you know, so they were serving him the right type of service, getting balls in behind. His movement was decent. He's, again, scoring 15 goals from the left wing position, if you want to call it that. It's an incredible return. So again, I wouldn't expect him to start tomorrow, maybe getting some minutes off the bench and start building him up to get him ready what's going to be a big end to the season. But it will take him a little bit of time to get back to speed. But there's 9 games in the league, potentially 2 cup games, so there's still a lot of football for him.
He's missed Rangers' last 14 games. He's not played for Rangers since the 2nd of January, went away with his country, and that's where the injury happened, Hugh. So you would understand from Rangers' point of view the caution and dampen the expectations, but you'd understand the Rangers fans saying, well, great, because he scored loads of goals, so get him back in and see what he can do.
I'm also thinking of Nick Montgomery, the Hibs manager, sitting listening to that thinking, oh no, because they were a shambles the last time they played Rangers. No discipline, 2 players sent off, and Rangers won comfortably, and would have won comfortably against 11 men, never mind the 9. So Nick Montgomery is still in the position for me where he's looking for the big result, the statement result, as they call it. A couple of draws against Hearts, and that's about it. Loads and loads of draws. So Rangers' recovery list has to be a source of concern for Nick Montgomery.
Let's hear the Brendan Rodgers injury take on things as well. As we said, it's often the case that there's a availability list presented after the internationals. So here's what the Celtic picture looks like.
Yeah, Cameron is fine. Rhea Tati's back and available in the squad, which is great news. He's worked very hard. He's played a bunch game in the time off, and he's built up his fitness. So it's great news that he's back. Yang has come back with a bit of tightness, so we just need to make sure that that's nothing more serious. He'd obviously played 260 minutes and a 30 minutes and whilst he was away, so he's come back a little bit tight. So we just have to check and make sure he's okay. Lewis Palmer probably will just miss out on this weekend, but hopefully will be available soon. And Callum, he's been out on the field, but we're not risking him in this game. So, but should hopefully rejoin training next week.
Again, largely positive view, I think you'd have to say.
Apart from McGregor. Celtic without McGregor are Celtic light, and they really do need him for Ibrox a week on Sunday.
Sound more like, well, if we take Brendan Rodgers at face value, and I know people have always got theories about kind of mind games and all that stuff building into that fixture, but also wasn't bad news as such. Are you saying we're just not risking him tomorrow?
I never thought for a moment that they would, and I really don't believe they'll risk Cameron Carter-Vickers either, because if you go to Ibrox minus McGregor and Cameron Carter-Vickers, then in my estimation you are at a serious disadvantage. So they'll play it cautiously.
How much of a balancing act is that with Cameron Carter-Vickers particularly, though? Because he's fit and available according to Brendan Rodgers. Everybody always talks about the pitch and whether that's an increased risk. The need to wrap him in cotton wool versus get him another game.
They need to win, get a good
performance. Celtic need to win.
He's had a season that's been pretty much ravaged by injury. You know, he hasn't played in the two Rangers games that have taken place so far. And I just feel that subconsciously Brendan Rodgers will not want to go to Ibrox minus Carter-Vickers. So Livy have won 3 games all season. They're doomed to the Championship. But they can be a bit of an endurance test for Celtic on occasion. And Celtic have to be very careful there, because I keep on repeating that one false move and all of a sudden the trip to Ibrox becomes a desperate occasion.
Listen, Celtic will win on Sunday for me again. Whether Carter-Vickers plays or McGregor plays, well, McGregor won't play, or whether Carter-Vickers plays or not, Celtic will go and win. You know, they've still got a lot of good players. Carter-Vickers is missing for the two biggest games of the season so far in the league domestically, and they've still came out on top. There's no doubt Carter-Vickers will be available for next week. Again, he's been fighting through the pain barrier a lot this season, by all accounts, to make sure he's fit to play a certain amount of minutes. McGregor, again, I'm still not too sure about where he's at. If he trains next week and he comes through it, then yes, he'll be having a... There's no doubt he'll start. It's just a case of where is he at with that injury. You know, it's a tough one to take. It's only been kind of 5 weeks or so, or will be 5 weeks or so since it happened. So whether he'll be 100% or not, I'm sure. But there's one thing I will be sure: if he's able to jog out onto that pitch next week, he'll be doing it.
There's one for you then, Celtic fans. Do you play Cameron Carter-Vickers tomorrow, or is he wrapped in cotton wool for Rangers? And what do you think Callum McGregor's chances are based on what you've heard? 0141 951 1025. It's the perfect time to call, and we'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need, so please do get in touch. I've got a quick full-time teaser to give you before we get James on the phone.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride. Call now to score a free no-obligation quote.
I like it. It's topical. It's from Gavin, and it's all the way from Hong Kong as well. And he says, I tune in often from Hong Kong. That's in Asia, in case Gordon DL is on. I thought he would hurl in this teaser, but I'm going to give it to Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans tonight. So it's quite straightforward, and it is topical. Can you name 6 players who've played for Celtic or Rangers, and they've been capped by a team that Scotland will play at the Euros in the groups? We don't know who we'll get in the final yet, so it's just the groups. 6 players have played for Celtic or Rangers, and they've been capped by a team that Scotland will meet in the Euros at the group, in the group stages.
Is Andy Tom too far back?
He is not. There is no time limit. Well done.
Klaus?
No Germany caps.
Is that right?
Incredibly.
Okay.
I mean, I'll double check, but also that was quite a famous fact about him because, you know, played at a very high level, but was up against like Oliver Kahn and stuff like that.
So was Tom one then, yeah?
Andy Tom was one.
Albert's, no?
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there and see how the guys get on. Thank you for the question all the way from Hong Kong. And if you've got any questions that you want to hear used, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's bring in James, who's on the line. How are you, James?
How you doing, Gordon?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, Kenny. Yeah, you all right?
Hi, James.
Good. Yeah, just my point tonight is basically everybody's talking about the atmosphere, right? I'm a Rangers fan. I'm in my 50s.
Whoop. Oof. Do you know what the annoying thing is? James has been hanging on the line for ages, and then we've got like 10 seconds of his point. We will try and get him back. That was nothing to do with me. I didn't touch anything. I don't think I can touch anything in here. But anyway, we'll try and get James back.
You don't let me touch anything.
That is an absolute certainty. The man who can't work his shower or fridge without breaking it is not getting involved in the technology in here. I don't think James is kind of ringing out. We've probably kept him on hold so long that he's his battery drained, which would be extremely unfortunate, but we'll try our best. We'll get James back and see what we can do on the phones there. We are on Twitter, like I always mention, if you'd rather get in touch. And now you can watch as well. You can see Hugh Keevans in all his glory. And please subscribe to that YouTube channel. It's going to James's voicemail. I can't believe it. He was, I don't even know where the point was going. It was in its infancy.
Now, he mentioned his age, in his 50s. So it was one of those, back then it used to be, and today it's something else type of question. That's my guess.
Right, well, keep the calls coming. We can move it on to something else entirely. I'll plenty of time for your teaser. Don't you worry, a patient soul chap. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers because, I mean, what an end to the week. Ticket allocations, one of Clyde One Super Scoreboard's favourite topics, hot on the heels of yesterday, disciplinary hearings and bans and theories and all that stuff. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, his own take on the ban that he received. If you missed the news last night, it is a two-game suspension. It's a two-game ban, but one of those games has been suspended. So he'll serve a ban against Livingston tomorrow, and then on Sunday, sorry, and then will be in the dugout for the game against Rangers. The second game will only kick in if there's a future breach. So here's what he had to say on that topic.
Listen, it is what it is. We, as I said, I was disappointed with the one and the one game suspended. But like I said, it was the SFA. It was all done very professional, and like I say, I have a huge thanks to the club, you know, because Celtic gave me, you know, unwavering support in the defence of the breach. And but as I said, we accept it and we move on from it. Yeah, I won't be going golfing, that's for sure. But it was obviously disappointed to get banned for obviously the first time in my career. But I respect the decision, and we'll find a way around it. I've also got big trust in my staff here as well, and like I say, we'll be in communication. But the players will go into the game knowing exactly what it is they have to do, and then as I said, we'll have that communication with the bench.
Right on cue, that's the topic Dominic wants to explore. Take it away, Dominic.
Good evening, Gordon, Kenny and Hugh.
Hey, Dominic.
My point I was saying to the producer was, I think that, I know this was obviously announced yesterday, but I think that it's because of the nature of next week's fixture, I think that the SFB have actually caved into pressure from a certain amount of the Celtic supporters. But don't get me wrong, Gordon, I don't blame Brendan Rodgers for what he said, because I think he's right about the refs are shocking up here, but I think that the SFB have just caved into peer pressure because the nature of next week's fixture is different. If it would have been somebody else, if they were playing like Motherwell or St Mirren, then they probably would have went forward with it, but because of the nature of next week's fixture, it caved into pressure.
Dominic, you're a Rangers fan, is that correct?
Yes, sure.
I think people are disrespectful to Philippe Clement by going down that line of argument, because it's almost as if Brendan Rodgers not being there in the dugout would be a serious disadvantage to Celtic. But surely you have faith in your own manager that no matter
who's Dominic, there. I don't think he's making any judgment about what it does to the fixture. He just thinks that the process hasn't played out the way he thought it would, based on what fixture is coming round. I'm not saying he's right, but that's the point he's making.
But Dominic belongs to that school of thought which says, the SFA have conducted their business in such a way that they've freed up Brendan Rodgers. The SFA didn't dream up this one-game ban with one-game suspended scenario. It has been going on for a long time. There will be a list of managers who have had a two-game suspension but one-game suspended. In other words, it's like the court, you're bound over to keep the peace. If Brendan Rodgers made the same mistake and called a referee incompetent before the end of the season, he might miss the cup semi-final or the cup final. So the SFA didn't dream this up in order to disadvantage Rangers and do Celtic a favour. This is commonplace.
Yeah, would that theory, Dominic, not hold much more weight if this was entirely different from the way it had been handled before? And I always do say you should try and treat cases on their individual merit. But, you know, we said last night, Craig Levein broke this rule and got a one-game ban with one game suspended. Gary Caldwell broke this rule and got a one-game ban with one game suspended. Yes, before anyone shouts or tweets like many have, there will have been other managers who've broken this rule and got more. But it's fairly similar, Dominic, to other scenarios. So I wonder if your theory is dismantled a wee bit by that.
I totally get exactly what you're saying, but it doesn't, because of the nature, it's different. I think the Rodgers would have got a two-game ban if they weren't coming to Ibrox next week.
Yeah, I get. I know you said that, but what I'm saying is that's not then based on very much, is it? Other than a sort of hunch.
No, well, I suppose you're right, but if you can say that, put it back to vice versa, saying that Rodgers said, and if Rangers were going to Parkhead the following week, I dare say that he probably would get a one game ban rather than the standard, but it's two. It's SFA bound down to peer pressure.
Again, it's a theory. The thing about it is, I can't disprove that. Yep. But I also am pretty certain Dominic equally can't prove it. I've no idea.
I think there's something in it. You know, and I said it on this when on the show a month ago when it was first on. Yep. He's going to get a one game ban. That's what's going to happen, because I think the nature of that fixture. And
when you say there's something in it, what do you mean?
Well, I think with the fixture being the next game week, I think there is. There's definitely something in what Dominic says. Listen, he's allowed his opinion. That's what he feels, that the fact that that game is so big and so important that it maybe has had a bearing on the outcome.
Same question to you, though. Is that opinion, which doesn't bother if Dominic or you holds it, is that opinion not damaged by evidence of other managers getting the same ban?
No, because they're taking on their individual merits as well. This has been taken, because again, you've said as well, there has been other guys who have got more. You know, there has been the two games or even the three games.
But is this not what this fixture does to you? Because I'm pretty sure that week. So
All I'm saying is this fixture. And by the way, I would rather Brendan Rodgers in the dugout. So I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the dugout. Mm-hmm. I would like Brendan Rodgers to be in the dugout. But this fixture being that next week is so, so important. Had he been given a two-game ban, does that put Celtic at a disadvantage? Absolutely
does. But if you make that statement, Kenny, you are implying that the SFA deliberately acted in a certain way because it was Celtic against Rangers.
No. Listen, they
you
can
said
look
there was
at,
something in it.
Yeah, because they can look at it and they can. It could have been part of their decision. It could have impacted their decision. There's no doubt it could have.
No.
So it couldn't have.
You're saying it impacted their decision.
Yeah, it could have.
Well, could have or did.
No, I'm saying it could have. Well, and it maybe did.
Well,
you don't know it never.
Maybe it didn't.
Well, maybe it didn't.
If that's the strength of your argument, maybe it did, then that's not a convincing argument.
Based on? That's what we're saying. How would that come
about? It's
based
on the game. It's based on the game that is getting
played. But that's then a theory rather than evidence-backed.
Listen, how can I have evidence what somebody else is thinking?
But the counter-evidence would be to debunk your theory would be that it's quite in line with the same punishment.
But the, what were the other two or three guys that got different punishments?
But some of them had previous, and that's where that
some
would
of them
change
did,
as well.
Did all of them?
I think most of the ones I can see. I can't look up every single manager.
This might just be the general way. I'm allowed to think what I think, and I'm not agreeing that there's some conspiracy, but I just think with the nature of this game, they've thought, you know what, we've gave other guys that, we could give this Brendan that as well, and it fits.
But
it fits.
Therefore, there was a pattern of punishment relative to these matters, and the SFA have followed the pattern.
Yeah, they followed it, absolutely they have. But of course it is, if they're following that pattern, and that's the standard way. All right, what's the point of hearing then? What's the point? Well, just give them one game and one suspended. We don't need all the hullabaloo. Yeah. Just go right there straight away. That's what everybody gets. So let's just give them it. So why do we need all the shenanigans of lawyers coming in and presenting cases and this, that, and the other thing?
You have
thing.
To be careful. Shenanigans implies something going on.
No, shenanigans implies a whole case surrounding where we need to get lawyers and we need to explain our situation. We need to fight
clearly,
it for a manager. Just give them the one game and one game suspended.
Clearly you can't abandon the judicial system. But
but that's what he's going to get anyway, so we might as well just do it.
And I repeat, they are following a pattern of punishment.
No, but you would take Kenny's point on that regard, that it's not automatic. Like, it wasn't guaranteed that was going to be the case just because
everybody else has.
There were examples.
Yeah.
And the SFA took cognizance of all that was put in front of them and arrived at that decision. I just cannot accept that there's something in it.
There's something in Dominic's point. I'm not suggesting there's anything going on with SFA that's untoward. It just seems
proof,
to fit at this moment in time.
The burden of proof rests with you. Because you have to show that the SFA behaved in a way that was inconsistent with the letter of the law.
Listen, I'm not suggesting they did. I'm not suggesting they did.
The boring answer will also be that it was an independent judicial panel.
And
by
the proof
way.
Would be in the pudding, by the way, like if Dominic says, if it was Motherwell or St Johnstone that were playing the following week.
Well, you shouldn't bother anyway, because in your Sunday Mail column last week, you said he was the fifth choice for manager of the year,
yes,
Brendan Rodgers.
But by the way, he put Celtic at a disadvantage. And I'll tell you why it would put them at a disadvantage. Because Brendan Rodgers on the touchline, one of his huge strengths is actually analysing a game as it goes on and making necessarily the adjustments that are necessary that game needs. If he's sitting in the stand, that could have been completely disadvantaged.
WhatsApp message nowadays.
So anyway, no, they could, but it's not the same.
What will he go for? FaceTime, AirPods, WhatsApp, because it's all available.
Might be there's an off phone in the dugout.
I feel like that's a bit old school, you know, the phone that sits there.
I think it looks horrible when manager or I've got their mobile next to them. I think it looks awful.
AirPod.
If the ruling is you have to sit in the stand, you could just sit in the front row, Livy.
We kind of joked about this last night. The Livy situation changes everything. In certain stadiums, it's like, what's the point? You're kind of right there.
Like Love Street.
But you're not allowed in a certain amount of time before kick-off.
Or at half-time.
Half-time. So yep. that would probably be the more. Because let's be honest, we can't be hypocrites here. Everybody always says you can't hear what the manager shouts in a derby game. So maybe it's more of that. Build up and so on. Anyway, thank you to Dominic, 01419511025. Just quickly on this teaser, I reckon that our question maker, all the way from Hong Kong, just in transit, I think one's been missed out. So I'm going to up it to 7 Celtic or Rangers players, or players that have played for them, have been capped by a team that Scotland will meet at Euro 24 in the groups. You've got Andy Tom and George Alberts.
Andy Hinkle.
Yes.
Onshore.
Yes, we're now branching out away from Germany.
Onshow,
Stefan Onshow. Okay, let's get your calls in right now and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Clyde One Live. It's back, bigger than ever. Tickets are on sale now at ClydeOne.com. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans have reached the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got a full-time teaser ticking away. Ticking's the wrong word. It's like it's stalling and going again and breaking down. Because I think we're adding on a new answer every 2 minutes here. I think we're up to 8. Oh. This is the smooth... ease at which the full-time teaser's meant to operate. We do thank Gavin in Hong Kong for his question, but I think we've missed a couple. So let's go. 8 Celtic or Rangers players who've been capped by a team Scotland will meet at Euro 2024. From Germany, you've got Andy Hinkle, Andy Thom, George Alberts. From Switzerland, you've got Stefan Onksho
and Philippe Senderos.
Philippe Senderos was one that Gavin missed. Well done.
I'm out at the moment.
Okay. I wouldn't bother too much about Hungarians. That would be my advice to you. Still a bit of life left in both of the other nations that we'll face. Okay. Right, we'll leave it with you. John's in Hamilton. How's it going, John?
How you doing, pal? You all right?
Yeah, what's your
Thanks
point tonight, John?
On the show. It's just obviously, I heard Kenny speaking there, and I just think it was finding it a bit difficult there, and I think that the way things are, that if it was any other manager in the league at the moment facing the same remarks regarding incompetence, would face a 3-match ban. And obviously the SFA have 100%, I think, back down here.
What's that based on, John? You know, that notion? Because like, we were in danger of going round in circles. Hugh, me, MDLs can't say that that hasn't happened because we're not there. We're not privy to it. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but what's it based on? You're using, you know, 100% it would have happened. Based on what? That's what I'm trying to establish.
It's just the fact that it's such a big game next weekend.
But hold on. These are separate things, right? It is a big game next week. You're not going to meet MD who disagrees. That in itself is not proof that Brendan Rodgers has been treated different to another manager. Mm-hmm. That's not how proof works.
I know you've got the Craig Levein situation. I understand that.
Right.
You've got things like that, but it just doesn't. It should be a 3-match ban, and it's the fact that the SFA again, it's as if the SFA can't be bothered with the trouble that it would cause an uproar for the Celtic fans, that they've just gone, just gave him a 1-match ban because the Old Firm's next weekend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like the same point as I made. I've got no problem if that's your theory, it's fine, that's okay, but I think it's when we take it that step further and say, you know, 100% any other manager would be treated different. You say, well, not really, because here's A, B and C manager who haven't been treated that
the
way.
The panel is made up of who?
I think in an appeals a panel like this, it would be a 3-person independent judicial panel. It's not to do with referees or anything like that. It's an independent disciplinary hearing.
You see, I think your point is based on the fact that you believe in your heart of hearts that the SFA and their independent panel deliberately, knowingly, consciously rigged this whole hearing so that Brendan Rodgers would be at Ibrox. Am I correct?
That is correct. Of course it's correct. It's definitely correct.
But you can't prove it.
I can't prove it, but...
So how is it definitely? That's the thing. I don't mind. I think people are going to pick this up wrong. I don't mind if people float their theories, but we're asking, how can it definitely be correct when you then in the next sentence say you admit that you don't know if it's correct?
Well, it's just I've got Celtic fans that are my friends and Rangers fans that are friends, and we're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, but you're all wrong.
That's the thing. It's not definitely wrong. I've said that. It's not definitely wrong, but it's also definitely not right. I don't know why we're struggling with the distinction here.
Like, Hugh's going down the dark route about throwing rigs, and you know what? It fits. It fits well. He's got his punishment. He's going to be in the dugout for the Rangers game, where he should be. I know John's now thinking, oh, it should be 3 games automatically. There's no doubt what Brendan says. You know, it's there for everybody to see. He used the word that's in the rules that you're not allowed to use in terms of describing refereeing performances. So it's there. He's guilty of it. It's as simple as that. And he's got his punishment. The punishment fits. It's as simple as that. Nothing needs to be rigged. Nothing needs to be this. There's people who have their opinions one way, the people have their opinions the other way. This is the best possible solution that probably could have came out of this.
Yeah, it's like, so I've seen it described as a middle ground, and I get that, but I still think the language we use is important to say it's definitely the case, as John did, that other managers would be treated right. Clearly doesn't stack up if there is evidence of other managers being treated in that same fashion.
Even though, those instances were different and the words weren't the same and the language wasn't the same, so they're different entities at all. Yes, there's a similar outcome. Yes, there's similar instances.
This it's the same fits. Rule breach, though.
It's the same rule, but it's not as... Within those rules, there can be stronger versions of the other, and I think this one was pretty much... That can't be said, and it was said.
Celtic hired a very expensive lawyer. He was described on one back page as the Lionel Messi of sports law. I mean, imagine. I didn't know such a thing existed. But, and I don't know, I wasn't there. These things are private. It's not a wild notion. And I take Kenny's point about, well, it can't be automatic, though. You still have to hear it and see the evidence. But that this really expensive lawyer comes in and says, well, you know what? This guy got one game and this guy got one game, and that's part of their case. Not the sole the sole crux of the case, but it's part of it. And then Brendan Rodgers ends up with that. I get why it
It's also a funny country, because the hiring of the lawyer is seen as a sinister move. They brought a lawyer.
Not everybody would do that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So why highlight Nick DeMarco and say, well, they brought in some hotshot, as I keep hearing him described.
He's a Leo Messi. Sports law, he's a hotshot.
If you were in court, you would like legal backing, Kenny.
Absolutely.
And you'd like the top man.
And on that, as you said, the best possible outcome. So there you are. Brendan Rodgers was never getting off with this because he said the word incompetent.
Yep.
But you've got the best possible representation and he's got you one game with one game suspended. So, yes, we're all obsessed with the fixture that comes next. But similarly, if the next fixture was St Johnstone, nobody would bat an eyelid either way then.
No.
So we'll agree to disagree.
But we live in the conspiracy theory capital of the world.
But I've said that. I don't mind the theories. I want to make that clear, because it sounds like I'm disagreeing with everything. I don't mind the theory, but I do mind the notion that it's definitely that.
Yeah.
Because none of us know for sure. What I do care passionately about is how much I want to tear my hair out over this full-time teaser.
Oh.
Or just collecting.
Is there more just getting added to it?
Honestly, Gavin from Hong Kong, I don't know if it's the time difference. I don't know what's happened here, but Gavin's original six-man shortlist
is now up to...
Oh, it could be double figures, I don't know. I'm having a nightmare.
We're struggling then.
It's Hong Kong Fooey.
Oh, honestly, I think we're... 9, 10, I've lost it. I'm like Gordon Dale last night.
El Yanusi, was he a Swiss?
No, he's Norwegian, is he? Scored against us in the game last month, didn't he?
Yeah.
What is he?
Norwegian.
Is he?
Now, what about German midfielders at Rangers?
Christian Nelliger.
Yeah, okay. What about both clubs having a Swiss striker that never really hit the heights? Recently, both of them as well. I'd say one was a bigger flop than the other because there was a price tag involved, and for both. But you know, maybe one was a bit more of a flop, but the other one didn't last very long either.
Was it a Yeti, I suppose?
Yes. And who would be the Rangers' equivalent? Loosely, he scored more goals than a Yeti did. Had it in for Motherwell, I'm afraid. This guy, he had to go. Couldn't last with that type of attitude.
What, kept scoring against Motherwell?
Yes. Not that long ago. Sort of your traditional number nine type as well. So initials. Before Colak.
Initials?
CI. Does that matter to you?
CI? I've gone here. Mm-hmm. I'm absolute mind blank. So before Colak, I said, we'll work out what that a Jetty.
And let's not forget, there's one on this list as well who does have a Germany cap, and he played, I don't know, 45 minutes for Celtic, infamously.
Oh, Raphael.
No. He was Brazilian.
Oh, of course he was. Marvin Kompere.
Marvin Kompere has one Germany cap. Okay. Been a fun question. We just don't know how many answers
there could be more, yeah.
We'll keep everybody on their toes.
I've got eight answers so far.
Yeah.
Right, one more.
One, two, three, four, I'm five, going, six,
I think
seven,
there's one
eight.
More. What, yep. He's a striker. Oh, no, two, sorry. There is two. A Celtic centre-back from like the Martin O'Neill-ish era. Played for Spurs.
Oh, Vega.
Ramon Vega. Right, one to get is the striker. We'll get back to it. Right, apart from the obvious, because we've done it to death, what about the other games? What's tickling your fancy
this
weekend?
You've got to be intrigued by Aberdeen, Ross County.
Yep.
You know, Ross County are taking 650 fans. I mean, for a wee place like Dingwall, that's a fair chunk of the population that are going. So managerless Aberdeen haven't won a home game in 2024. And it's still the business of Peter Leaven to look after them. A defeat for Aberdeen tomorrow would be very serious. It would plunge them into crisis talk, which will go on until they get a manager in place. So that, for me, is the one that I'll be looking out for tomorrow, because the rest you could, you know, I think are fairly predictable, but that one, that one is a bit of a problem.
How can you say anything's predictable when you get them all wrong? But Motherwell, St Mirren, Kenny, quite a good fixture, especially
it's a really good fixture, you know, but local. I'm actually more looking at the race for the top six as well. I think it's a really, really big game for Dundee against St Johnstone. Mm-hmm. You've got Hibs obviously playing Rangers. If that goes the way we expect it to go, Dundee could have a chance tomorrow to jump back into the top six, which will give them obviously the edge over Hibs going into these last couple of games.
And Dundee United,
yeah, I was going to say, a huge day in the championship. So you'd be crazy to miss it. We'll be here at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you join us. Andrew McLean's actually going to look after you in my absence. However, you've got one more to get. I've given you everything I can. Yeah. A former Rangers striker. He's a Swiss international. He wasn't here that long ago. He liked scoring against Motherwell.
Cedric Eaton.
Cedric Eaton. Thank you very much to Kenny. Thank you to Hugh. And thank you for listening and calling and tweeting, keeping us company, whether it's on the radio or whether it's on your smart speaker, whether you're watching on Facebook, Twitter. You can now see the live stream, particularly YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to that channel as well. George is up next, and the Super Scoreboard team will be back to keep you company tomorrow afternoon. Have a good night.